We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into Jacked Ramsey's. I'm your host, Danny Morang. Well, we got a special edition this time. I don't have Brandon Sprague. We improved ever so slightly, you could say. We got Nasir Little from the Portland Trailblazers. Do it all wing. Nas, thanks for taking some time, man. I know it's we're a couple games in the season. I know you're busy. Just got done with practice. How you feeling?
Pretty good, man. Got in late last night. just got back from practice not too long ago, so feeling good running on fumes right now, but I'm going to rest up tonight and just chill.
So getting back into the grind of the season, how has it been three games in now? A little sense of normalcy. You've got folks back in the stands, both here and on the road. How does it feel to kind of get in a real groove for the first time in your career with some, you know, normal elements returning, not just with the fans, but for you guys, how you travel, where you go, what you can do when you're not playing? How is that kind of coming together for you here in your third year?
It's been great, man. you know, I've missed playing in front of fans so much to the point where last year, you know, sometimes we looked forward to going on the road, you know what I'm saying, to places like Phoenix, just to have somebody there, Phoenix, Utah, Miami, or like just to have somebody there, you know what I'm saying? Even if they're against us, it just felt good to play in front of people. So now coming to this year, especially at home, man, playing in front of the people at the Motor Center, it's just been amazing. It's just been amazing. So
you guys are three games in now, and I think it's fair to say three very different results and three very different games. Sacramento was kind of a mixed bag, maybe stumbled out of the gate early on, but you guys with the bench unit, you, Ant, Cody, Larry kind of energized that first group when you guys came back out in the first and the second, made a hard push there to close out the game. And you made it a one possession game with a chance to push to overtime, ultimately end up falling, but you take what you learned there and you bring the energy in game two and absolutely wax Phoenix. I mean, that's about as stark a contrast as you guys can get from game one to game two. Game three, though, it flips on its head. What has this season so far been like for you on the basketball side of things, getting used to different adjustments, new coaching staff, where you are as far as your role and what's expected of you? How has that all kind of progressed through here through a rapid, you know, and very different three games?
I mean, it's been the same. I feel like, you know, it's going to be little increments of improvement over time. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen, you know, in a week, 2 weeks. It's going to take time, especially like you think about guys that's been here for a long time, like Dame, CJ, Nurk, you know, and myself included, you know, playing under Terry for 2 years. It's a lot of stuff that, you know, we're trying to change, you know what I'm saying? So it's going to be different, and it takes time to change something, especially when it's been taught a certain way to somebody for a minute. So I think that's what the biggest thing is. And you know, basketball is one of those sports where it could be anybody's game any given night. And it's a mentality that you got to have as a team in order to play at a consistent level. You know what I'm saying? We come out, play good against Phoenix, and then we come out against the Clippers and, you know, don't play well at all, you know, for the entire game. So it's just a mindset, and we got to have that standard for ourselves. That we, the way we played against Phoenix needs to be how we play every night. And I think last night we just didn't do that as a team. But for me, like, you know, in regards to how it's been the same. Like, I just stay level-headed, never get too high, never get low. It is what it is. You take it and you just learn from it and move on.
Speaking of taking it and learning from it, what are those incremental improvements that you've seen from yourself? Not speaking on anybody else, but through three games, you were on with Richmond last week. Shout out your fellow Tar Heel. But you said that after that first game, even though it was a loss for the team, when you went back and watched the tape, you said, "Hey man, I felt like I did good." And you know, you got the feedback that you did what was expected of you. Mm-hmm. Games two and game three, has that been the same, or are there some things you went, "Yeah, you know what, I fell behind here, or I lagged behind here, or I could have done this a little bit better." How has that progression been through these first couple games for you?
I mean, it's been the same. I think the first 3 games, I've played well in each of them, honestly. Clippers game, like I said last time, like, you know, there's nobody's perfect. There's going to be lapses. There's going to be plays that get you. I mean, that's the game of basketball. You're going to get scored on. It is what it is. Against the Clippers, there were certain plays where I felt like just being more physical, you know, my challenge is, you know, what I struggle with is, because I'm so strong, is learning how to use it. Like, sometimes when I use my strength and aggression, like, I'll be too aggressive and I'll foul, or, you know, try to push somebody a little bit and I'll mess around and push them a little bit too hard. So, like, you know, I'm just trying to figure out that balance of using my strength, but, you know, not overdoing it to the point in which I'm, you know, fouling. So, you know, pretty much that's one thing I got to figure out. But against the Clippers, I think there's a couple possessions where, like, I was just cut off guard, coming off the pin downs a few times. And not necessarily cut off guard, but I just got to get into their body a bit more.
So, oh no, go ahead.
But yeah, but I mean, besides that, I felt like I played pretty well all 3 games.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top three things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was going to save this for a little bit later, but you brought up exactly one of the things that I was going to ask you about, the one play I was going to ask you about midway through the first quarter against the Clippers last night. It was side out of bounds, and you had PG in the corner. And I wanted to ask you about navigating this play because of how differently you guys are playing defense now. You've got to come inside a little bit more, and you I believe as the ball was passed in, you came to help maybe a step or two too soon, and PG came up off the pin down. It ultimately turned into a travel for Zoo, but it looked like you've, like that split second, you're like, I took a step too far, too soon, too early, and I had to trail a little bit harder than I wanted to. Was that kind of how that play progressed for you?
Yeah, and that's the toughest thing about any type of jumbo pin away action, is when you're that guy in the corner, you're technically the weak side help, but you're also supposed to be guarding the action at the same time. And you know, what had happened was, when the ball was inbounded, you know, it looked as if there is a potential for a drive, so I didn't want to be too far out. But at the same time, it's like you got to kind of try to navigate both. So I kind of stepped in, and then Paul George, you know, he's a good player. He read it and just took off. So it's just being more aware. Like, you know, if it's set up where, you know, it's a staggered, you know, double pin coming, just being to the body. And then react if there is a drive or something like that.
When you're looking at the toughest things to cover in the league, how do you evaluate that kind of a set? And not even just out of bounds play, but just in live ball, when you've got to come down, be that low man, but you also have to deal with that action. You're dealing with a guy, a Paul George, any kind of big wing where they can come down, they can, if you turn your head, they can back cut on you, finish at the rim, they can pop out off that flare, off the pin down. But when they clear that corner, and now you're either, even if you chase up, there's no help on that backside anymore, and that rotation is in play. How difficult is that action? Because that's what I've seen for the most part early in the season that has bothered you guys defensively. In the preseason, a lot of that empty corner action, getting you guys to rotate over and swing it over to the opposite corner. So, but on the ball side, where you found yourself in this particular possession, how difficult is that to guard night in, night out? Is it like ranking things as far as like both individually and team scheme?
The thing is, it's not that hard. It just primarily starts with the on-ball defense, which I feel like we got to improve on. Like, if whoever's guarding the guy bringing the ball up, if he can contain the drive, like, first off, it's all about awareness, right? Like, if I see, like, the way it's set up is there's a guy in the corner and there's a big at the top of the key and a four on the wing, 9 times out of 10, it's going to be a double pin. Like, so I just get into the body right away. But if there's Bledsoe had a few possessions in that double away action where he just got to the basket, Reggie Jackson had a few possessions in that set where they got to the basket. So if, you know, if the ball can be contained a bit better, it allows, you know, a guy like me to be more comfortable just staying connected and then being able to trail Paul George over the two screens or do whatever I need to do. But if the guard gets beat and double away, and that's the whole point of the set, it lifts everybody up. Mm-hmm. So if the guard does get beat, we need to figure out something, whether the big stops the drive or something, but it can't be me stopping the drive because it's too hard to split that difference.
It's particularly with guys in the NBA right now, especially that wing position. That's that primary position that's so difficult to guard because everybody wants to have one of those kind of wings, right? That's the hardest, the most valuable commodity, so to speak, that skill position with size. And so if you can lift, like you said, that defense in that particular situation and put a defense on edge and take away the rim protection, if it pulls the big all the way up, it pulls you and really the only real wing size at that kind of position, that 2-3 and even up to 4 sometimes. When you're looking at this, when pregame, practice, shoot around, whatever the situation is, walk me through what a scout looks like on an NBA level, not necessarily for a team, not necessarily for a player, but they bring you the notebook or they bring you the iPad and they go, we're playing X. This is why, this is what we want to do. How detailed is it? What does it all encompass kind of going into each game?
I mean, this is detailed as it can. It, you know, it shows you, obviously it's going to show you the statistics. It shows you, I mean, obviously we're only 3 games in, but it's to the point where it shows you how they play overall and it shows you their last 5 games. You're telling, so you can tell whether guys in a hot streak or a slump. It tells you, you know, we've had scouts where it tells you their performance in wins. tells you the performance and losses, the percentage they go left, percent they go right. You know what I'm saying? What if they go right, do they like to pass? Or if they go right, they're going to shoot a step back. Or if they go right, they're going all to the rim or they're pulling the charges. So it lets you know their tendencies and what they tend to do, go in different directions. It lets you know if they're weak defenders, if they like one-on-one. It just lets you know literally everything about them. And, you know, and when you're looking at it, you're internalizing it, but you still want to play basketball, if that makes sense, when you get into the game. You don't want to, you know, if a guy likes to go left, you don't want to just let him, like, go right entirely. You get what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. It's kind of a balance.
Unless it's Isaiah Thomas, then it's okay.
Yeah, like, you just, you know, that's what I struggled with earlier. Like, you said, okay, make this guy go right. And I would just let guys go right. But, we're NBA players. If you give a guy right, he's going to, you know, attack that. So it's just a matter of knowing what they're going to do kind of before they do it. And that way you're not really caught off guard, or you're kind of having these thoughts in the back of your head as you're guarding certain players.
Is that becoming, as you're getting around to your second, third, fourth time around playing guys in your career or seeing those scouting reports, obviously you play against guys growing up, you kind of understand tendencies, but when you get to the higher levels, when you get to college, when you get to NBA, this stuff becomes more and more important.
Mm-hmm.
How much of it becomes, hey, I've played against this guy, or hey, I've seen enough tape on this guy, I know what he does. Does it get to a point where you understand the tendencies, and then when you get that scout, you're looking for something a little bit more refined? Like, I know what PG wants to do in this, and this situation, but what about this? Do you start asking questions about things that are a little bit more specific?
I mean, it's not really for me, like, because I watch basketball, so when I'm watching these games, you know what I'm saying? I'm not just like watching as a fan anymore. Like,
what does that look like for you when you're watching another opponent? What is that when you're watching a team play? What are the things that you're looking for?
I'm looking at what it is that they're doing. I'm looking at the team. I'm looking at how they move. I'm looking at the way they pass the ball. Like, oh, okay, so this team, they like getting to the second, third side action on their play. So in my head, I'm like, and they take good shots. So we got to play defense for full possessions. We're not going to get bailed, or this team takes care of the ball, or this player likes to do certain things. So it's a matter of when I'm watching these games, internalizing it. And I've seen PG, like, multiple times. I've played against Paul George before. So I know, you know what I'm saying, when I'm looking at the scout, I'm not really seeing a lot that I didn't know. I'm not really surprised by what I'm seeing, but I'm just kind of, you know, in regards to the game plan and what the team wants me to do, is just kind of like, okay, at the end of the day, guys are good. Like, Paul George coming into last night, he was averaging 35 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists. Like, so it's not like a thing where it's like, all right, I'm going to shut Paul George down and he's going to have zero tonight. You know what I'm saying? Because guys are good. Like, you know what I'm saying? He's a go-to guy. He's talented. So it's just making it, you know, as difficult as possible, or less efficient or taxing. And that's really all you can do. But, yeah, that's really it.
When you talk about, you know, obviously going against Paul George, I mean, it's the NBA. Even the bad guys are good, as far as, you know, mm-hmm. the public sees them.
Right.
How hard is it for you to quantify, or is it hard for you to quantify a personal win in a possession, even when a guy hits one in your face?
It's all about as a defender, is taking the shot that you want the defender to make. I mean, the guy on offense to make, you know what I'm saying? Like, for Paul George, you know, he's virtually, like, he's the type of player, he's so skilled, you can't really stop him. He's going to get to his spots. He's respected by the referees in the league, which matters. Like, you know, they say, you know, I remember in my rookie year, the refs were like, you know, we don't show favoritism or whatever, but, and I don't think it's necessarily favoritism, but it is true that the guys that are well-respected in the league, they know the tendencies of a player. You get what I'm saying? So
for sure,
if a guy goes to the basket and gets fouled, you know, they're going to be more inclined to call it. Like, last night I got fouled crazy, and they don't know me. They're kind of like, oh, like, we don't know what this guy is doing. He's probably just shooting up some BS, whatever. If he misses it badly, whatever. Like, nobody cares.
I've got a clip of Reggie grabbing you from behind. So I know exactly what you're talking about.
And then, you know what I'm saying? And then there's a clip where last night I'm guarding Reggie and there's very, very, very marginal contact and they call a foul and because he missed it. They waited till he missed and he's like, oh, it's like foul.
Was that the hand down when you brought the hand down?
My hand wasn't down. I just was like, he crossed and I just like he shot it and I turned around. And then they were like, foul. And I was like, you know what I'm saying? And it's like, I don't really, you know, I ain't really going to get too much in arms about that type of stuff. I get it. But, yeah, like, back to PG, like, you know, he's a good player. I feel like if I can get him to take a mid-range shot, that's what I want. You know what I'm saying? It's a two-pointer. It's not a three. And it's not a layup. It's a snatch, step-back, mid-range. That's the shot that I want him to take. And if he makes that, he make it, you know what I'm saying? It is what it is. But that's the shot that's like the shots that even across the league, you want guys to take, like the low percentage mid-range jump shots.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Did you come in with that mindset? Did you come in as a rookie, like understanding, like it's... You're not going to win those battles against those guys night in, night out. You're not going to win those wars, I should say. You can win some battles, but yeah. Like, have you gotten to the point, was it like that for you day one, or did it take a little while?
It took, you know, I think my rookie year, I was giving people too much credit. I felt like almost virtually expecting to get scored on, you know what I'm saying? Like, considering myself as a rookie, you know, although I was, it was just kind of like, dang, I guess I'm supposed to lose this battle, or I'm supposed to get scored on but I had to shake that because I was feeding into it and I felt like I was just overthinking it. Like, oh, this is James Harden. Oh no, like he gonna do a step back or something, like where I'm gonna get crossed, whatever the case may be. But it's just kind of like, you know, when I remember before the game, reporter was asking me like if I was nervous or scared, and I was like, to guard Paul George, I was like, I'm saying it's basketball at the end of the day. You know what I'm saying? Guys are going to go score. And if Paul George goes off tonight, it ain't the first time he's ever went off. You know what I'm saying? Like,
he didn't, though. He didn't go off.
Right. I mean, yeah, he didn't. You know what I'm saying? But if he were to, it's like, you know, tip your hat. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like I've learned that more so from my teammates. Like, I watch guys guard Dame and you can't guard Dame. Like, you know what I'm saying? I watched him go for 60 and you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't really guard him. You know what I'm saying? And to the point, I'd be feeling bad for whoever has to check him. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, it's tough. Same with CJ. Like, they're so talented that you can't really stop them. It's to the point where, like, they're at the point in their careers where they're just missing or making. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? If they're off, they're off. If they on, they on. It's not really much that, you know, and you can make it harder. You know what I'm saying? I ain't going to say you can't do anything, but you can make it harder. But in regards to completely shutting a guy down, it's just not that likely in most circumstances, but you can make it as far as possible. And that's just all you can do.
So we're spending a lot of time on defense because, I mean, honestly, that's been the theme of the season as far as the changes and then the more aggressive and your role through three games. Your three primary assignments have been very different. You've got a point of attack guy who in Darren Fox, who can get downhill, arguably the fastest guy in the league with the ball. Although you're going to take on his competitor for that role in John Morant tomorrow night.
Yeah.
You take on a primary assignment on Book, who is just a bucket getter. And then you take on PG, who's a big body wing. I'm sure they've talked to you about what your expectations are, especially now with Norm down. What is it like for Chauncey or for Rodney to come to you and go, hey, this is what we need you to do night in, night out, and knowing that you could be guarding anyone 1 through 4 as a primary at that point of attack on any given night?
I mean, it's expected at this point. I mean, you know, they watch film, and, you know, if you look at the past three games, the guys that I've been guarding, if you look at it, you know, the nights that they had, they ain't have crazy nights, you know what I'm saying?
You just writing that on the wall, just put little chalk marks.
I mean, you know, like you just want to make it as hard as possible. Like, you know, Paul George last night, I saw he was 6 for 16 or something like that. Like, I'm not saying that, oh, like I guarded him, I made him miss, but like, you just don't want it to be easy because Paul George is the guy that's liable to go for however much you want to go for any given night. So you just want to, they started taking things into that like account. Strength, physicality, size, athleticism, and they see me as that guy that has all those attributes. So it just makes more sense for me to kind of be on those guys that have the ball in their hands and try to bother them a little bit more and make it a little bit harder, just so they don't get it going, because these guys are, you know, really talented.
You said something the other day, again, I'm going to reference Richmond because Mike's really good at his job, and he asked you a question that got you to say, there's only so many superstars in the league. There's only so many Damian Lillard. There's only so many Paul George. There's only so many of those guys, and not everybody gets to be that guy. Mm-hmm. But as we've talked about it, your defensive growth, and obviously you see that as a way to be impactful. But when you look at it, do you look around and go, hey, I can get better at this. I can get really good at this. I've got, like you said, I've got the physicality. I've got the tools to be an all NBA guy, to be an all defensive kind of performer. Is that kind of, does your focus shift? Like, okay, this is my path to the floor right now. If I go do this and this, then I can do that, but also do the other stuff. But this is how I get out there.
Yeah. I mean, it's just a matter of, you know, like you said, just doing what is allowing me to stay on the court and doing what's allowing me to impact the game. And I feel like all that stuff just follows suit. Like, I don't think I have to actively think about being defensive player of the year or actively think about being all defensive team, as long as I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing as a team and doing my part as a teammate. If that stuff, you know, if that's how the cards fall, that's how they fall. But I don't think I'm the type of player where I'm like trying to like, oh, let me get steals and let me do this so I can get these blocks and so my stats look good. I just don't play like that. So, you know, I think for me, it's just being more physical and then turning it down as needed. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like, because we were in practice the other day and like we were doing something and they're like, yo, just push him a little bit. And I pushed him a little bit. I thought I pushed him a little bit and he didn't literally go flying, but you know, you could tell I pushed him and I felt like I barely touched him. You know what I'm saying? So I was like, okay.
They're blowing whistles on you?
Yeah, they're like, nah, why are you pushing so hard? I was like, I ain't even touch him for real, bro. Like, y'all thought I pushed him hard. Like I barely touched him. So I'm like, okay, let me just chill. Like, let me not use my hands because so I think, you know, my mindset is going to shift from I'm going to have to just be aggressive. And if they tell me, like, if they call that first foul, then I'm like, all right, I'll tone it down a bit. But, you know, from this point on, I'm not going to let nobody just be out here just getting to wherever they want to go to and, you know, walking to whatever spot they want to get to. I'm going to start standing my ground and applying that pressure to them instead of letting them dictate where they're going. I'm going to have to set that tone from this point on. So That's a challenge that I'm going to take. And I think that as a team, you know, they'll kind of we'll just all start to follow suit. So
how difficult is it? We kind of talked about this in a roundabout way earlier with players getting a certain level of respect. How difficult is it to build that resume to be physical at the point of attack in the NBA right now?
It's very difficult. I think it's a little bit better with the rule change, some of the rule changes they had.
Mm-hmm. Do you notice a difference on the floor right now between that last year and this year?
I do. I definitely do. You know, especially like on the pump fake and leaning thing. Mm-hmm. Last night I got called for a foul on three. And when I watched the clip, like, he tripped me. Like, I'm watching the film and I'm seeing, like, I lunge, but I'm going, you know, he's shooting and I'm going straight. And, you know, he sticks his foot out and they call that foul, which is, you know, refs are human as well. Like, we ain't perfect. Nobody's perfect. But after I see the clip, I'm like, you know, that's a 50-50 call. That, to me, that's offensive. But, you know, probably in real time, the way the game was going, you know, they whooping us at this time. So they're like, okay, that's a 4-point play. So it is what it is. But I feel like it just allows you to play. Like, it gives the defender at least some kind of way to guard you. Because I don't know if you remember the clip, but in the preseason, Steph, you know, did the step back and then.
Yep.
The thing about that, yeah. And the thing about that play is, like, say you're guarding a guy like Steph. If he steps back, even with James, Luka, Trey, like anybody who has a step back, it's impossible to guard because if you don't close the space, they're going to just shoot it. And if you close the space, they're going to just lean into you. It's a foul. So it's like, you know, and people tend to say, like, oh, nobody plays defense anymore. But it's kind of this thing where it's like you virtually can't. Like, offensive players, they can hit you and bump you and lean their shoulders and do all this. But as a defender, you're kind of like, you can't touch them. You can't apply any kind of force. Like, I think it just kind of leveled the playing field a little bit. It allows you to at least contest a shot without having to worry of some guy just – doing some crazy movement to draw a foul. So I feel like that's been important for sure.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
A guy like Marcus Smart obviously has a reputation as being a great defender, but he's, to be blunt, he's physical as hell. Do you subscribe to the idea of if you're just so overwhelmingly physical, they just can't call you for everything, and that's how you build that reputation up?
I agree. Like, I feel like if you just, and like I said, like, if I just set that tone, like, this is how he plays, then, like you said, they're not going to call every little, you know, if every little bump and nudge. So that's just kind of something you got to do. And, you know, as I get more opportunity, I'm going to make a point on, like, that's what I'm doing. Like, I'm not, guys aren't just going to walk down. If a guy's driving and he bumps off path, like, my resume and my reputation is going to be like, that's marginal, but Nas is a strong guy. So we're not going to call that. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I kind of want that to be the vibe that they get off me when I'm guarding guys.
That's just your presence, not necessarily you taking an advantage play, so to speak.
Exactly.
Switching from defense, look towards offense and what was a better game, I think, for everybody. Against Phoenix, shot clocks winding down. I think it was Dame. It might not have been Dame. I'm trying to remember exactly. Throws you a little bit of a grenade. You do a little hitch. You let that three go. You knock that first three down. And you look up. You scream. And it looked like weight just kind of fell off your shoulders. It was the game hadn't gone real sideways yet. You guys were playing well, but it wasn't a blowout yet. But it was the way that you – not necessarily even celebrated, but just like the look on your face, your body language said, yes, thank you. Everything just kind of came together in that one moment for you. What was that like for you? Not just, in that moment, but just overall over everything that you've overcome over the last 16, 18 months.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, you know, Dame came, swung it. I saw D Book closing out, and the hitch was I was trying to pass it to Ant, but Alfred Payton had came like this with his hands up. So I was like, oh, can't make that. Shot clock winded down. So, you know, I just shot it and it went in. And, you know, my reaction was more so of like just kind of like I'm here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm here, like this for real. It's like this thing where it's like, you know, last year, you know, it was playing here and there and I played solid, but it was always like, is this something he can do consistently? Can he shoot for real? Like, you know, like, and I ain't really the type to get into like the future and, you know, I ain't got to tell nobody what I can or can't do, but it was just like this for real, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, like I'm here, like I'm a player in this league, like I can impact these games. So I was just excited, man. I was just having fun. I'm just letting loose, man. And I think that's going to allow me to be the best version of myself when I'm just having fun. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, back, you know, everybody's good in high school, but when I was in high school, I was just playing, bro. I wasn't thinking about nothing. Like, I was just hooping. I was shooting it. If I was open, I was dunking. I was turning up, screaming, whatever I wanted to do. And that's when you play your best brand of basketball. And that's kind of when I wanted to get back to. And that moment was just it all coming full circle for me.
Did you expect that moment to hit you the way it did? Because it looked like it went from, I got to let this shot go because the shot clock's winding down. You hit it, and it just looked like a switch just all of a sudden just flipped. Was that building up for a while, and that just it happened to be that one moment? Because I don't think anybody ever sees that moment come at any point in life for themselves, whether it's, you know, as being a, you know, having a kid in a family, you know, or in their careers. Careers. did you kind of anticipate that it was coming, or was it just there?
You know, the shot, like, you know, the shot was a tough shot, but it was definitely something that, you know, when I hit it, it wasn't, you know, no big deal. And I kind of had a moment like that against Sacramento the game before, you know what I'm saying, when I hit that corner three. And it was just, you know what I'm saying, it was just like, just me having fun again, bro. Like, at the end of the day, that's what it came down to, and just playing with that emotion, playing with that fire. You know, it's a long season, and you need, you know, I think sometimes guys need to see that, you know what I'm saying, from somebody. Because, you know, you see what people say, like, you know, one of our downfalls, sometimes they think we lack energy, you know, as a team. Like, on the court, we just kind of look like we just going through the motions or whatever. And, you know, one of the coaches even today challenged me, like, I feel like I can raise the entire team's level if I set that tone. And that's kind of what I try to do.
Say, rookie year, I had you come on and we talked about how you changed your shot from day one. I think it was opening night against Toronto was the first shot you had, was that corner three. And your shot difference between then and you gave Kuz a little bit of business. We kind of joked back and forth about how you let that one fly off the step back, feeling yourself real good. And you had some tumultuous times. You had a scary issue in the bubble that kept you out from playing. Then you pick up COVID. You pick up a little bit of a knock here in preseason. All of that kind of coming together for you. Like you said, the energy. You've got a bunch of teammates who, and this isn't a criticism, who are very even keeled. They're steady no matter what. Dame isn't a big talker on the floor. Nurk can be a talker. I mean, he'll get a little bit of junk and he'll get energetic. But for the most part, particularly in that starting lineup, you got a lot of dudes that are just like this. The difference for you going from the bench where you know unequivocally, I'm going to be the energy guy. That is my role. I've got to hustle. I've got to bring it. That's bringing that to the starting lineup. Is there a difference in starting the game that way versus coming off the bench and kind of feeling your way into that? Or is it just, you just have to be able to find that switch to flip to start the game?
It is different because, you know, when you're coming off the bench, whether the team is playing with energy or not, like if they are playing with energy, it's like, all right, I'm gonna come in on the same type of time they on. And if they're not, you're seeing what they're doing and you're like, all right, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go harder. You get what I'm saying? So regardless, like, you're getting to assess the flow of the game. So when you're coming in, it's like you kind of already mentioned, you making these key notes. Oh, this is what they're doing. This is how I'm going to do it. Or this guy don't be boxing out. Like, when I get in, I'm going to do this. Like, you get to make these notes. So then when you get in, you can kind of take advantage of certain things. And I feel like when you start, it's a little bit, you just kind of, you're experiencing everything firsthand. Like, if they come out and they hit you in the mouth, like, you're on the receiving end of it. You're not, you know, you're not taking no notes. You're kind of like, oh, snap, you're down 10. Like, already we got to pick it up. You know what I'm saying? And I think it is different. And I think it's, at the end of the day, it comes down, we all got to do it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, like, I could play with energy and I could crash the boards, but realistically, like, I ain't going to get offensive rebounds every time. Like, they, because they trying to, they're going to box me out. Like, that's, I know that's one of the things on the scouting report for me as a player, is he going to crash every time. So, and I could tell against the Clippers, like, they made that a point of emphasis, because I was crashing and, you know, they was there every time. So, I'm not going to always be able to have those highlight plays every here and there. So it got to just be a thing of competitiveness, where we just make that mentality of us to just come out there and compete and play hard as a squad, because that's what's going to matter. It's not about me doing whatever it is that I'm doing. We got to all be able to buy into that and do it together.
What haven't you shown so far in your NBA career that you want to show?
I mean, I feel like I'm a much talented offensive player than what people think. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can really, like, I feel like I can really get to it, like, for real. You know what I'm saying? And that's because, you know, I work really hard, bro. Like, every day I'm doing what I need to do. I'm in the gym consistently. My off seasons aren't off seasons. Like, I work really hard. I'm really diligent. I pay attention to detail. And, you know, I'm at the point now where, like, I'm tired of people saying, like, what I can or can't do as a player. Like, you know, and I think that people tend to get stuff confused. Like, they think because you don't do something that you can't do it. You know what I'm saying? And, like you brought up earlier from my other podcast, it's about playing your part. You know what I'm saying? And that's what, you know, Chauncey and, you know, my assistant coach has told me, is like, bro, like, you don't have to, quote unquote, do too much. You know what I'm saying? Just take what's given to you. If they swing it, they swing it. Shoot it. If you drive, dunk it. Like, but I mean, it's just doing what they need me to do. Like, they don't need me to come off and handle and break somebody down and shoot a step back. Like, that's just not really what they need me to do. But, you know, as I evolve as a player over time, my career, that can change. And if it ever does get to that point where that's what they need me to do, I'll be more than capable of doing so.
I mean, I saw you do it rookie year. Like I said, that, you came out with all kind of confidence, all kind of swag. When you hit that on Kuz, you were definitely in the bag of, like, hey, let me show you a little something right now. So that's
and there's been flashes. There's definitely been flashes where it's like,
hey, that Euro, that when you came off the bench and scored the other night, I didn't think there was a chance in hell you were going to be able to turn that corner on him, and you went off foot, and I went, oh, he snuck that up on him. I was like, that's because right now, real quick, we'll get you out of here in just a few minutes. You are their transition offense right now. And, and watching last night, watching the Phoenix game, watching Sacramento, you are often the trigger.
Right.
Is it, when you're looking at things right now, is that when you're talking about your chances to go do something offensively, is that where you see the kind of the light being shined? Like, hey, not even just finishing, but if you get out in an early 3-on-2 or a 4-on-3, yeah, you can flatten out and get to the corner. But like in that situation where that first transition opportunity against Sacramento, you turn, I was like, oh, I think he's going to flatten out, and get to the corner. No, you attack, you get more aggressive there. You can show a little bit more of your skill set. When you're looking at your opportunities, yeah, you can work in the swing, you know, later shot clock opportunities, but in transition, is that where you're kind of looking as far as exploring more of what you can do offensively?
Yeah. Like, you know, my coach, he tells me anything in transition, that's your play. Like, we draw plays up for Dame, CJ, Nurk, whatever, Norm, like when you run in that wing, like that's, oh, when you get on the wing, that's when you really have free reign. Like,
go eat.
Like, that gets you one. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, they're saying that more from a standpoint of just, you know, me being physically gifted, that, like, you know, is, you know, what, like, can you really do as a defender? You're running on your heels. You got whoever the guard is bringing it up. And I'm on the wing. It's kind of like you're at our mercy. So, you know, it's just, that's kind of my play. So that's why every time, and we get a little break, I'm gone. Like, I'm taking off. I'm running the wing. And I try to, and that's kind of where I get turned up, and I try to make a play every time. So.
It, obviously the game went a little bit sideways, but at this point in time, how does it feel to run the wing with Dame and CJ on each side, knowing defensives, they can't choose. Like, you ended up with that dunk last night. I was like, I saw both of them coming down. I'm like, CJ or Dame better give this ball up, because he is hungry running that lane right now.
Yeah, you know, Dame and, you know, done a good job. I feel like they're looking for me in transition. I feel like my whole career, Dame has always looked for me. I don't know why. Like, I just feel like he's always just had an eye out for me. I don't know.
A natural connection there?
Yeah, like, you know, it just seems like virtually, like, a lot of my shots come from. Yeah, but I was saying, like, you know, when I run the floor, you know, I know that, you know, Dame's willing to give it up. So I just kind of, it makes you run harder. So that's kind of how I got those opportunities.
All right. We'll get you out of here on this. And again, thank you for all the time, man. I really appreciate it. We've talked basketball, your career and your evolution, but that's not who you are. It's part of what you do. And in that same vein, you've got the Nasir Little Youth Foundation. What do you got going on with that, man?
That's been amazing, man. Last year, you know, we held the camp. Well, this past summer, had my first camp, and, you know, it was amazing. You know, we had a lot of kids come out, kids enjoy themselves. It felt super good to get back to the community like that, for them to see my face, for them to understand that a kid that was just living in their city locally achieved his dream of, you know, playing pro sports. On top of that, you know, we've done a great job. We've had some people be generous, giving donations, which help us fund for our Make-A-Wish Foundation, where we just kind of give back to the kids and hold on to your dreams grants, where we help kids get anything they want for the extracurricular interests, whether it's sports, whether it's visual arts, music, you know, art itself, you know what I'm saying, from buying kids instruments to laptops for, you know, the graphic design, whatever the case may be, man, just helping these kids peek into these interests that are so important for us to have, man. So it's been great so far, man. We've already changed, you know, a good number of lives. So I just look forward to keep that going.
Well, hey, man, I appreciate you, and I love what you're doing off the floor. I love what you're doing on the floor, too. I mean, I've been following you, obviously, since, you know, your rookie year, we had you come in. I do have to ask you this. Alex doesn't know I'm going to ask you, but I'm going to. Do you still have the Beanie Baby she gave you?
I still do have the Beanie Baby. I still do. It is downstairs, like, on my little shelf, and it's just still in the box. Still there, still pushing strong, man. Very clean condition.
Perfect. You had the best answer when she gave that to you. I didn't know she was going to do that, which really makes for great live TV, by the way. You said, how did you know this is exactly what I wanted? And it was so perfect, and it was one of those things where I was like, that could have gone really bad.
Hey, but I still got it, man. So you guys know I wasn't put on the front. You know,
hey, what I'm saying? Man, still posting up. Always real, man. Nazi, I appreciate you. Good luck, not only tomorrow, the rest of the season. Really looking forward to seeing what you can do, man. If you want to, guys, follow him on social media at Too Easy Nazi. Obviously, you can watch him every Trailblazers game. Nasir Little joining us. And again, thank you so, so, so much, man. I really appreciate you. Good luck. Stay healthy. And hopefully we can catch up with you soon around the All-Star break again, okay?
Sure, man. Appreciate it.
Take care, man.